Hour 2 Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 on the TSN app. Your home smart speaker up on TSN 4. Brian Hazy, O-Dog, Jeff O'Neill, Jamie Noodles, McLennan. We got Ryan Callahan coming up here in a few moments. The Leafs are back in action on Wednesday night. We had John Tavares join us in the 4 o'clock hour. 1,000 games last night and a big bounce back win. The Leafs, you know, they looked good last night. And Ilya Samsonov looked really good last night. He's going to have to continue to look really good. Like, he's playing on Wednesday night, as he should anyway. But
well, he needed some rest, but he's getting what is he getting, 10 days after that?
Yes, so
he's
exactly.
Getting it.
They've got a nice schedule, as most of the league does, coming up to the All-Star break. It's before or it's after that bye week. So there are teams that, we talked about it, there are teams that 9-10 days off. Mm-hmm. So use it. Use it. Make sure that the body, the mind. The weird part is I know, like, there are coaches that would want practice time. Because they're, Rick Tocchet said his next practice was like February 5th or something, like, for the team that he just took over. But you can't do it. It's a CBA negotiated week off plus the All-Star break. But if a team is nicked up, and the whole league's nicked up, but you look at the Leafs, they're right up there in man games loss. I think they're one. It's a good opportunity for them to take a break, and you're right. I think there'll be private jets.
Wednesday night,
there'll be guys gone, or Thursday morning, guys on birds out of there.
They should. You get out, you relax, you take it easy, and again, Samsonov, who's played a lot of hockey recently, he's played really well. Thought he looked really
That's
good
a
last
tough
night.
Start. I guess it was a
on
tough
Friday
start
night. He got it was a jam. Like even Keith was honest about that.
Right.
He's like, that jammed him up. Because like you've been in that position, Noodles, countless times in your career. I don't care how much you pay lip service to. You're a pro and you prepare. You do not prepare the same way if you don't think you're playing.
No, two different ways.
Mentally, you can't.
You've needed a break.
Yes.
Here's the thing too, if Curtis Sanford decided, okay, that maybe that morning. I didn't see if Samsonov got a little extra work in that morning because he thought he wasn't going to play, right? There are guys sometimes, you stay out extra, you go out early. I'm sure with Samsonov, the amount he's played, they probably just did a little bit maintenance that morning. But in his mind, he expected the night off.
Have you ever said to a starter, I don't know what you think you're doing right now, but don't even think about it because I'm not going in?
Well, Roberto Luongo tells this story, and I will tell the story, and it is a true story. And Louis told it at his Hall of Fame speech, off air, like kind of in front of family and friends. But there was a time, and he played 75 games that year. So I played in a handful of games.
So one of seven you pulled a pin on?
He came to the bench, and he said something like, I think I broke my hand, like I took a shot. And I was like, no, you're fine. Like, I think it was like maybe third period or something. You're like, you can battle through.
Just
You're
get
good.
Out there.
You're good. Like, we'll have to ask. We'll have Louis on one of these days and ask him about it. But he brought that story up, and I swear, like, verbatim, I do remember saying that. I'm like, you're good. You can battle through. Because I was like, I'm not going in here. Maybe it was a tight game, or it was just something. Maybe I'd had, like, popcorn or something. Like, what's the use of me going in here with 7 minutes left? Just fight mm-hmm. through it here type of thing. And Louis tells that story to this day, and he joked, like, he's dead serious, and the way he tells it is exactly the way it went down. Like, I was like, no, you're good, just tough it out. Like,
don't even worry about it, you're fine.
But in that situation, he was playing and fighting through it. I think he got the injury earlier in the game, so his adrenaline was going, he's fine. Here's a scenario where Samsonov shows up at the rink, goes through his routine, Murray goes through warm-up.
Murray was playing.
And well, it was a big game for Murray, too, because it was his turn to get back in there and say, okay, I want a bit of the spotlight back. I want to perform well.
Against
I hope Matt Murray's okay. I'm not going to go off on some tangent about Matt Murray because I really don't know the why. If you want to give me the why, and then I could have a comment. But I don't know the why yet. But what I will say is, if he was the guy that they were intending to start game one of the playoffs, what is that, 3 months away from now? Let's just call it 3 months. There's a lot of runway for him to make up to get to that point where he's going to be the guy day one of the playoffs.
I agree
with that. And not just because of his own stuff. It's like now he's got to jump over Samsonov. Because Samsonov is basically, through his play the last 3 weeks, has told everyone that he is the guy for right now.
Yeah,
for right now, absolutely. And there was a time where it was Murray. And both of these guys have had stretches where they played really well, and both of them have had injuries. And here's the other thing is, that's my biggest concern. And you have to wonder from a management standpoint, you know, how bad is, they announced right ankle. Is it correct? It's an ankle
they
injury.
They said an ankle after
and they're
going to
say,
yeah,
you know, we're not sure the extent of it, further tests and all that. I don't know what that means. But if it comes back and he misses another month, we're getting up close to the trade deadline. Like, you have to think, are they comfortable enough after the trade deadline, if he's banged up, to just go with Samsonov and Shalgren or Wall or whatever? Or are you going to bring another veteran guy to have in the mix somewhere?
Yeah, it feels like it's a legitimate question.
It's a legitimate, respectable question because of the health of Matt Murray.
Yeah.
That's the second injury here. And that was the biggest question mark. He can play hockey. He's a good goaltender. But health-wise was the biggest question mark coming into the season for Matt Murray.
Yeah, and you got 31 games left. Like, Samsonov has been outstanding. He had a four-game stretch a few weeks ago where it fell off, but he quickly recovered, and he has been great since. Based on merit alone, he's your number one guy.
Yeah.
Based on the fact that he's there and ready to go every single night, that goes a long way as well. I mean, Matt Murray, I don't know what to make of it. The ankle injury, they don't have any. There's nothing definitive there. They're going to back their guy. They should. Publicly, you got to back them. You got to say something's up. They're not going to throw him under the bus,
right,
as they shouldn't. You know, right, as much as, again, I'm sure they were disappointed he didn't play. I don't think it's a coincidence the team they were playing against, again, that's twice. It's been Ottawa. That's twice
season.
It's been Ottawa where it's day of, can't go.
Well, the thing is, it happened in Pitt, too. It's like he got to Pitt and was like, no, I'm just going to be in the press. It's just, it's weird timing, man.
It is, and they got to figure that out.
The optics of it are weird.
Yeah, and they're lucky they picked up Samsonov and he's played so well.
Right.
But if Murray is not a guy you can rely on, then you're going to have to figure something out. Here is former NHLer, ESPN NHL analyst, joining us here on the Maple Toyota Hotline. Here's Ryan Callahan. How you doing, Ryan?
What's going on, guys? How you doing?
We're doing well. We're just talking about the goaltending up here in Toronto, and, you know, I'm curious what it's like as a player, you know, when you're uncertain about the health of a goalie, when you're uncertain of whether or not he's going to be available for you. Like, does that affect the guys at all? You know, forwards, defensemen, the game plan? What's that situation like for a player?
Hey, I'm surprised you guys are talking about the goaltending in Toronto. That seems like,
it happens.
Another year, I guess, right?
Yeah.
It definitely affects the room, I think, when you don't know exactly who your number one is or you know, the health of a guy, obviously speaking of Matt Murray. You know, I will say they probably know in the room a lot more than what we know outside of it right now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, time-wise, what exactly is going on, when it'll be back, if it'll be back. So, you know, I definitely think in the room they know more, but it's a little unsettling just, you know, when you bring a guy in like him and you think he's going to be, you know, play a lot of games for you guys. Samsonov's been unbelievable. So, I mean, you got that to, you know, to rest your loyals on. And you know that, I guess, moving forward, he's your number one guy, right? If you're in that room, you know, the way he's played this year, how he stepped up, he's your number one guy. And I think in the back of your mind, you're hoping that Murray can get healthy in case Samsonov goes down or something happens to him. But, you know, at least they got a guy right now that's kicking and playing well and winning games. So I think that's the biggest thing they look at is we got a number one. He's playing well for us. And like I said, I think they probably know more than we do, obviously, of exactly what's going on. So I'm guessing there's not too much questioning or guessing of when Murray will be back or if he'll be back. They probably know.
Callie, what's your take on what a team needs to win in the playoffs? There's some different philosophies with talent, like when people are viewing talented teams, it's like, oh, we just need a guy. Maybe what Colorado had last year in Kemper, it's like he wasn't a dominant goaltender, mm-hmm. but he just did the job. There is Shesterkin in the East. There is Vasilevsky. What's your take if you don't have one of those guys, what your goaltending should be going into the playoffs?
Well, I think the biggest thing is your goaltending has to be, you know, suitable for your style of play. You know, what kind of team are you? You know, I think if you look at Colorado, you knew they can score. They didn't give up a ton either. I mean, they took their chances. Kemper had to be, you know, good at times, but he didn't have to be the guy, right? You know, and then I guess if you look at, you know, in Tampa when I was there, you know, we went Stanley Cup Finals, two conference finals, and, you know, Bishop at the time and then Vasilevsky, they had a pretty much stand on their head for us to get where we wanted to go just because we gave up so many opportunities and so many chances. You know, it was kind of a running gun style. And I think once Tampa realized that, you know, if we paid a little bit more attention to the defensive side of the puck and limited our turnovers, come playoff time, we were better off. And obviously Vasilevsky, you know, being the goalie he is and then limiting the chances you get against them, your odds of winning are pretty high. But there's not too many teams that have that luxury of the Shesterkins and the Vasilevskys. And, you know, so I think when you get a guy like Kemper, or I guess in the Leafs case, Samsonov, you know, once playoffs start, and I think for the Leafs especially, even no matter who's in that, you know, they got to worry about their own end of the ice first. And, you know, and game management, once playoff comes, game management is so huge. And, you know, when to try that pass through the neutral zone, or when to try to beat a guy one-on-one, you know, time of the game, time of a series, who's on the ice, who you're against. So I think goaltending aside, I think once the Leafs learned that better, and I thought they did a better job of that, you know, last playoffs against Tampa, obviously they don't come on the right side of that series, but I definitely thought they did a better job of that. And they're going to have to if they're going to want to win the playoffs.
With Ryan Callahan, John Tavares played his 1,000th game last night. What has impressed you most about his career?
Yeah, I think, you know, just his longevity. I remember obviously playing against him when I was with the Rangers and he's with the Islanders a ton. You know, and what impressed me the most about him when I used to play against him was how good he was down low with his stick defensively. It seemed like he was always in the right spot. He battled down low. You know, and a guy that could put up points offensively when he was in the island there. You know, one of their go-to guys, obviously, offensively. But I just remember him being so good defensively in the defensive zone. You know, they could rely on him in all situations. You know, so I think that's the biggest thing I take away from playing against him was just, you know, his talent in the defensive zone and how strong he was on his stick, reading plays, always in the right position. And obviously this year in Toronto, he's having an unbelievable year and, you know, the captain of that team. So it's quite an honor to be able to, I think, play in 1,000 games. And he's been the consummate pro and seems like he comes to work every day and he's prepared and ready to go.
Ryan, we were talking about, and we've talked about at length, as far as what it takes to win in the playoffs, and you just talked about game management. Also talk about the toughness, and it's not about fighting, dropping the gloves, but maybe loose puck battles and guys maybe stepping out of their comfort zone to make a play or make a big play that can be a difference maker in either a game or a series.
Yeah, I think it's definitely not about dropping the gloves. I mean, you rarely see, you know, fights in playoffs. You know, to begin with, I think team toughness is, you know, it could go from, you know, even taking a hit, you know, and not retaliating, you know, taking a punch in the face to, you know, standing in there in those little scrums and making sure that all five guys are in there and, you know, in there together as a team and, you know, finishing all your checks, blocking shots. There's a lot of things that can kind of go in that team toughness, you know, bucket. And I think, you know, when you're playing a team too, and you see teams doing that and you see some of their star players blocking shots or, you know, taking hits and just getting up and keep going, you know, you're not moaning or crying about it and, you know, finishing their checks. You know, when you're playing a team that's doing that in the playoffs, it starts to wear on you a little bit too. You know, you're like, holy cow, every single one of these guys, whether it's the top guy or the fourth line guy, is kind of playing the same way. They're grinding. There's those 50-50 puck battles, like you mentioned, you know, constantly in front of the net, you know, willing to basically do whatever it takes to try to win. And that's how it is. I mean, that's playoff hockey. I mean, you guys know, you've played it, you've seen it. You know, it's a grind, it's a battle, but, you know, it's usually those teams that are a team unit and show up every night, whether it's game one through game seven, and just continue to bring it. It's a seven-game series for a reason. I mean, your hits you start giving in game one, you know, start paying off in game six and seven. So it's a grind and it's a battle, and it's usually the teams that stick to that game plan that come out in the end.
Callie, how bullish are you on the Boston Bruins? Up to 2 weeks ago, people were like, why is anyone else making the playoffs? Because they're winning the Stanley Cup, and it's no contest. So a little bit of adversity for them. I believe they got a clean sweep, losses in Tampa, Florida, and Carolina. Mm-hmm. Does that take away from them not winning the Stanley? Everyone else is able to participate now?
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, you knew they were going to hit a bump in the road. And I guess going back to the start of the year, and I'd be the first to admit, I thought they were going to be in trouble to make the playoffs with, you know, with the guys they had out of their lineup to start. And, you know, Marchand, McAvoy, you know, who knows what Krejci was going to be like coming back, you know, this year after missing basically 2 years playing over in Europe. So, you know, at the start of the year, I'm like, I think they're going to be in tough to make the playoffs. And boy, was I wrong, obviously. But I mean, I think they're clear-cut favorites still. Obviously, they've lost three in a row here, which I think a little adversity is good. I think it's good for them to go through that a little bit and, you know, have to rebound or, you know, change the way they're playing a little bit. You know, obviously, you guys have been through it before. You start making mistakes, but you're still winning games. You know, sometimes it's good to lose a couple in order to realize that, you know, we got to clean up our game and get back to the way we were playing before when you're having success. And you just look at their lineup and the way Allmark's playing in net too. I mean, there's not many holes, right? You know, you bring Krejci back and kind of slot everybody where they should be. I think, you know, you drop Coyle down to that third line center spot, where I think he's great. You know, and then obviously got Krejci playing with Pasta, and you know the chemistry they have together, and Marchand Bergeron, the chemistry they have together. So it's just you know, I look at that team, and we were talking about it on ESPN the other day. You know, like, what do you do for a trade deadline? And I don't know what they need. I look at that lineup, and I'm like, obviously you could use like a depth forward or a depth D, but there's just not too many holes there, and it's a team that has been there before. They've won together before, that core, so you know, they have the experience, so that, you know, that's another thing in their back pocket. So it's going to be, they're going to be a tough out, seven games. I mean, you know, you look at that division, them, Toronto, and Tampa, you know, you start thinking to yourself, you know, I kind of wish we went back to that 1-8 playoff standings.
Oh, yeah.
But that's a whole other conversation to have, I guess. But yeah, I they're going to be a tough out. If, you know, if I had to pick a favorite right now, the way they've played early on this year, I mean, it's tough not to pick them.
With Ryan Callahan. So the Chicago Blackhawks have had a tough year to begin with.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
now they're on the wrong side of an emergency backup goalie getting sent out there basically as a ceremony. Like, you're a local guy.
Yeah. Dude, there would have been a price to pay 25 years ago at the next meeting if it was like, you want to put in the high school guy? We're going to beat the hell out of somebody.
That's what I haven't heard that brought up. Like, again, as an outsider, I'm like, that's cool. He's a local guy. That's awesome. Edmonton coming out and saying, we meant no disrespect.
Well, don't you think McDavid and Jay Woodcroft started their media saying, wasn't about
just
that.
Just so you know.
It was more about putting the kid in.
But, Callie, do you think players these days, because it seems like they just keep trucking and not much bothers them, or they're not offended, do they even think anything of that, Chicago? Or are they like, we're going to get you back when you come to Chicago? What do you think the players think of it?
You know, I mean, I think, like you said, I'm shocked by it, kind of, to be honest with you. And maybe I'm old school, right? Maybe I got a different train of thought. And, you know, everything's different now, I guess, these days. You know, the whole world is changing a little bit. And, you know, I know when I used to play, I think that pissed me off. I mean, you're just, you made
embarrassing.
Putting it in our face. Yeah, it's completely embarrassing, right? You know, and, you know, like you said, to start a press conference and have to apologize, but explain yourself as soon as the press conference started. So it's already in the back of their head knowing that, you know what, maybe we did show them up a little bit by putting this, you know, e-bug in the net. You know, sure, is it a great story? Yeah, absolutely. Is it great for that guy to come in and get a shot and play some NHL minutes? You know, sure, it's great for him, but, I mean, this is the NHL, right? Like, you take a lot of pride in what you do. You know, you work hard, obviously, you know, and then to go out there, and Chicago's not having the greatest year, so things can't be great in that room, can't be great in the organization, and now you got an e-bug coming out basically as a little ceremony thing against you guys. It's, you know, I would take that as a little bit of a slap in the face. I mean,
yeah,
but,
tough.
You know, will there be retaliation or anything like that? You know, I'm going to say no, because you don't see too much of it anymore, right? You know, if I had to guess or bet on it, I'd say no, there's not going to be any. But I'll tell you, just myself, I'd be pissed, you know?
Oh, yeah.
If nothing else, you, at that point, you go back to the room and you look in the room and you look at each other and you say, guys, like, is this not embarrassing at this point? If nothing else, a little rallying call, right? If I'm in that room, I'm saying, we better pick our game up. We got e-bugs going in against us right now. For fun.
When you put it that way, we've got e-bugs going in against us.
For a TikTok. At our expense.
I'm with you, O-Dog. I think we got a little bit of a different, old school mindset on that one. But it surprised me.
Before we get you out of here, and I apologize, I thought your jersey retirement was on Sunday, but it was on a Saturday. How was that experience?
Okay.
And welcome to the club, by the way.
No.
I was going to be there, and I got I emailed and said, what time is the game on Sunday? And they said, it's actually on Saturday. And I was with my daughter, so I couldn't go. Just how was the experience getting the jersey up to the rafters amongst some of the greats? That's a legit saying.
That is legit. It's Guelph greats, but it's still greats.
How was it, buddy?
Easy. I like that, O-Dog. Yeah, great. The greats.
There you go.
It was awesome. I mean, what an unbelievable experience. I think the biggest thing I took away from it is I got, having three kids now, having them be able to come on the ice with me and experience a little bit. I was never lucky enough to obviously have my jersey retired at the NHL level or a ton of, accolades or anything like that. So, Guelph as a city and organization meant so much to me in my growth and my development, who I am now as a person. So to just kind of put a bow on it, go back and have a good night. And like I said, have my family there. A bunch of friends came up as well. Old teammates were there. It was a really special night. I took a lot from it. So it's good to be next. Yeah, you and Bert, all good.
Congrats, buddy. Thanks for doing this. And I apologize again, but congrats. That's a great accomplishment.
That's awesome.
Thanks for doing this.
Congrats. Thanks, Ryan.
There it is. Thanks so much.
Talk to you guys soon. Yep, Ryan Callahan,
Guelph
Storm legend.
Some hockey greats in the rafters.
Yeah. So
Amongst the greats.
So you're up there. Bertuzzi's up there. He's up there. Is Doughty going to go up there someday?
What do you think?
The lock.
Idiot.
Dustin Brown? Is Dustin Brown going up?
Who else is
lock?
Down? Does it go back that far? Like, who's the oldest guy?
Those are the big ones
there?
That I... Like, Brown was playing when I was
playing. I don't know because there was the Guelph Platers before, and then they moved,
and then
they came back and became the Storm. So I don't know what the pecking order is.
Yeah, the e-bug stuff was, that was a wild scene.
Go on in and get a TikTok, and then we'll wrap it up for tonight.
Did he have like a GoPro on or something? I didn't think so.
No, but I'm just saying it was like somebody probably took a TikTok, and I don't know. It's like it's embarrassing.
I was watching the game. I actually was watching, but then I kind of thought it was I knew what they were coming from, but I understand the respect factor because... You could take it as a slight if you're Chicago. The game's 7-3. It's a runaway game. They know they're winning. The way it was explained after, they started planning it with like 7 minutes left in the game.
Right. They're not even worried.
They're not even worried that the game's going to come back.
Like Chicago had no chance.
And like imagine being in an NHL contest and the only thing you're thinking about with 7 minutes left is can we get the e-bug
in there? Can we get the e-bug in the game?
I kind of thought it was cool, but I understand both sides of it.
Imagine my fourth line in Hartford with Kelly Chase.
Oh, yeah. Chase would run the guy over.
And Mark J. Like, they would have climbed in the opposition's bench.
Yeah.
Max Domi, when they play each other next, I guarantee you he grabs somebody and dummies them.
I don't think they even think twice about it.
Yeah, I think Chicago, but I do think the fact that Chicago is so bad, it says something about where they've fallen to. They want to, but yes, it's 7-3. That could have been 7-3 against Calgary. There's no way Edmonton would have done that. I just don't believe they would have done it against Calgary. They'd be like, it's not, we don't want to do that against them. Let's just leave that.
Yeah, that's
it's
a
like
good
Chicago's
point.
Brutal. Forget them. Who
it's
cares?
It's a good point. Would you do that against somebody that.
I don't think you're like doing you're it against Vegas. You know, like, I don't think you're doing it against teams like LA you're competing with. You're like, so the whole idea that, it's 7-3, it was 7-3 plus Chicago.
Yeah, that's right. It's
like that's how I kind of saw it.
Perspective that because I kind of thought it was just a nice story.
It was cool. The kid gets out there.
And the fact that like Woodcroft was like was McDavid's idea to put the kid in there.
Yeah,
and
who's as old as McDavid?
He's 25. He's actually U of A Golden Bears. I actually have the general manager of the U of A Golden Bears. I played with and is actually a personal friend of mine, Stan Marple. So I messaged him yesterday. He's like, the kid's a good kid.
He I'm
really
sure
nice.
He is. It's
like,
not
I just kind of gave him. And I'm not sure if Leafs Lunch reached out and tried to have him on.
Yeah, they did. I believe they had him on.
Yeah. So, yeah. But, I mean, it's a good story, but I understand how it could go. I mean, it's a little different than the David Ayer situation.
That was necessary.
There's two sides of it. It's like, it's great for the kid that he got in a game, NHL, he played.
Right.
And there's the other side, which Callie and we just discussed, where it's like, I can't believe they actually did that.
Well, right. Because they decided to, right? Like, if you go in on an emergency basis, everyone understands you have to go.
Right.
This was I've never seen a scenario where they're like, let's get him out there as a ceremonial.
Refresh my memory.
Well, the Blackhawks themselves, yes.
Was the original E-Bug. He's the accountant that went in against Winnipeg and made like seven saves.
Yeah, but
I can't remember why he went in, though. Was that an injury or was that?
It must have been. I mean, I think I would have remembered a scenario where a team said, hey, just get out there. Let's go have fun.
Right.
Like, I
think the guy in Chicago, the lawyer or whatever.
No, he's the accountant, Scott Foster.
Yeah,
right.
He had to go in.
I don't know if that was an injury or if it was like, go
ahead. I was watching that game there. He was getting peppered a little bit.
I know. Winnipeg was throwing everything at the net. The guy was making save after save. We got to find out if that was an injury or if that was kind of like.
It was an injury. It was an injury.
Was it?
Yeah, I guess Anton Forsberg got hurt and whoever the backup was that day got hurt.
Yeah, wasn't available or sick or whatever.
Yeah, I mean, that happens. And
yeah, the error situation was a legitimate two-injury situation.
Two guys left.
Which was Mrazek.
Mrazek and Reimer, I think.
Yeah, Mrazek was still. Or was it Anderson and Mrazek?
No,
it was Mrazek.
It was Mrazek. I think Mrazek and Reimer. I believe it was Mrazek and Reimer, and they both left, and Ayers had to go in the second period.
Oh, Reimer was for the Carolina.
For Carolina.
Yeah.
Right.
Like, that was necessary. That had to happen. Yeah. We've seen scenarios like that, Foster, where it's like, we don't have another choice. You have to go in a game.
Right.
This was...
I still come
absolutely
down to
unnecessary.
Okay, you know,
and they put him in.
It was like, hey, you want to go play in the NHL?
Yeah,
but you're right. We're talking about we're giving it a lot of oxygen. This comes back to every team should be allowed to carry three goalies at the National Hockey League level, and
absolutely.
The third one should not count against the cap or be a set. That guy's making $300,000, and he can be here the whole
season.
They're
having the same chat in the NFL right now. Because look what happened to the Niners.
Exactly.
Right? Like, the second Purdy went down, that game was effectively over, but then Johnson gets pulled for concussion protocol, which he had to.
Yeah.
They had to put a guy back in. It's coming out here, Schefter reporting, that Purdy tore his UCL.
Six months.
Like, he blew his arm out, and he had to go back in the game.
He was handing off. That's
just
basically
handing the ball off.
Duthie yesterday was out of the corner of his eye was watching that, and this is how talented Duthie is. We're doing the panel, and out of the corner of his eye, he's seeing McCaffrey at quarterback, and Cheryl starts talking, and there's just one camera on Cheryl, and he's looking at me, and he's trying to mouth the words, McCaffrey's in at quarterback, and I'm like, what the hell are you talking about? Yeah. I thought I had to, like, chime or something, and then he did this, like, football motion of a quarterback, and he tells me again, and then we go to commercial, I'm like, what the hell were you trying to tell me? He's like, we're done, McCaffrey's playing quarterback, he was so pissed.
Yeah, they were done. If you're a Niner fan, but, like, what else are you going to do but throw your hands up and say,
I know what you're going to do, you're not going to Trey Lance, you're going to sniff around on Tom Brady or Aaron Rodgers, because you have the team, who knows how long the window is, and all you need is the quarterback.
Yeah, Rodgers ain't happening. They're not trading him to the Niners. There's no way the Packers would trade him to San Fran. Brady's going to be free.
That doesn't apply in modern day sports anymore.
I think it does with that team.
Rivals trade with each other nowadays.
Not superstar quarterbacks who have been with you for 20 years.
Yeah.
I'd be shocked if they even entertain that idea. And I don't think the Niners are in a position to trade assets. They just did that for Trey Lance.
It's TB12.
Brady can show up on the cheap and just walk right in. That is possible. Brady is possible.
Wow.
But I feel for Purdy because, honestly, that might be the end of the road for him. Like, if you're... This is the reality of sports that no one would ever acknowledge publicly.
Right.
Shanahan looks at him differently today. Like when he walked over and
he's
said,
like, you just couldn't,
like, you just couldn't get through it.
I know you couldn't do it, huh?
You just couldn't do it, and and now it's a legitimate injury, no question.
Dude, he might have had five fingers broken, but he would just look at him and say,
yeah,
you just couldn't pull through
just
for me,
couldn't.
Could you?
Like, it's true. It's savage. It is savage.
That is.
But in football, it's like, well, Brett Favre played 300 games in a row.
Yeah.
All right. You know, Peyton played every game. Eli played every game. Tom's always out there.
And, Hayes, that's why we go back to the optics of Matt Murray and the timing and how it's happening, where some of his teammates and other people would be like, are you kidding me, man?
Well, they were building him up all day. He's jacked. He's ready. He's prepared. He's a pro. We can't wait to get out there. And then he's out.
Right.
And
it's the optics of it are weird.
Yes, absolutely.
I hope he gets healthy. I hope he can get back on track. But the optics of that and other situations. I watched an Ottawa game a couple years ago. Middle of warm-up, he just skated up to the other guy, and he said, you're playing tonight. And I'm like, that's weird stuff, man.
And even the explanation, there's some stuff there that's got a Freddie Anderson vibe. Like, we don't know. And he's out through the bye week now. He's not going to play for a month. Like, the last time he played was January 17th.
Yeah,
he's not playing when they first come back. Like, they got a back-to-back when they come back. He may have to play.
Yeah.
But if he's not prepared to play, and we'll know, if he's not prepared to play against Columbus on the 11th of February, we're going to know a lot more about what's going on, what's lingering.
Yeah.
Again, they may not be completely transparent with that information. But if he can't play in that back-to-back, something's up.
Agreed.
So, and then you start wondering, what do they do?
Yeah.
Because then you got less than a month before the deadline. Max Homa will join us in an hour. He was victorious again at Torrey Pines. That course always shows up, man. Always shows up, Torrey.
Can't believe that's not elevated.
I know. I'm sure it will be in the future. It has to be. Look at Pebble. No one's going.
That's sad.
That is. That's Pebble Beach, the AT&T. It's a big tournament, a historic course.
Right.
Sungjae Im pulled the shoe. When Sungjae doesn't play,
that's something. You
know, that's saying something.
Yeah, you know.
Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on the TSN app. All right, Chris Johnston will join us in about a half an hour. Max Homa in about an hour. The Raptors back in action tonight. They're 2-1 on the trip so far, and they've looked good. They've looked good. Big win in Portland. And, you know, we'll see what comes of it tonight in Phoenix. And this trip allegedly has some sort of bearing on what their future is going to, you know, be all about.
What? And what?
I don't know. I think what, if anything, it's Masai and Bobby wanting to believe that the work they did was the correct work, right?
Right.
Like, they didn't think they'd fall off a cliff like this. So I think they keep saying, well, we'll give them some more time because we believe
they're smart guys
in September.
They've watched and they've probably seen enough.
They should know.
In their mind, this road trip's still going to tell if they're buyers or sellers?
That's been reported. I mean, that's until they do something, it's impossible to get a read on it.
Still.
You know, like, what are they doing? Are they buying? They're not going to be buyers. Like, they're not buying at the deadline. But do they stand pat? I wouldn't be shocked based on their history. You know, Achiuwa coming back, that's been significant. Added depth. He's played well. You know, we'll talk
about the depth of the NBA draft coming up. Like, I don't know how much sense it, and there's been a lot of discussion about tanking and why do it, but it's like, we talked about where they are in sports. It's the worst possible spot to be in.
Mm-hmm.
You're not in winning mode, and you're not really in losing mode right now. But they can change one of them.
Yeah, you're not going to get into winning mode.
No.
But you can commit to losing mode.
Right.
You can do that.
And you can do it respectably.
Yes.
It's just like, you know what, Fred VanVleet, you've been a great guy, great soldier. Maybe it's time to move on and you go play somewhere else.
Yep.
I don't know.
Yeah, and you've gone this far into the year. It's almost February now.
They know what they have.
No one's saying tank in October or November. Right. You're deep into this. Like people.
Yeah.
You know, it's weird, the NBA, though. You look at the Lakers. The Lakers, they have to believe they can get better because they have LeBron.
Right.
Like, they can't commit to being awful. They keep losing, but they can't do it.
Hissed the other night. He got the smack on the...
Those theatrics, that's so embarrassing for a player of his stature. Dude, I'm sorry. You cannot flop around.
What about
like that.
Patrick Beverley grabbing the camera?
Well, he's an idiot.
Cameron
though.
walks
I've
over
never
to the ref.
Seen anything like
walks
that.
Walks it to the ref. You know that's a still shot of LeBron getting chopped on the arm.
And he was right. It was a foul. He should have gone to the line. They would have won the game.
Yeah.
Like, that was the end of regulation, tie ball game. They lose in overtime. But LeBron cannot dance around. He cannot lay on the floor like that.
Yeah.
You've been in the league for 20 years.
Who is the dude Chandler? He dated a supermodel. He played for Memphis for a long time.
Yeah, Parson Chandler or Chandler Parsons.
He tweeted out, he's like, I could back up and run over my pet, and I wouldn't act like that the way he did. That's what he tweeted out. He's like, I could back over my own pet, and I would not act like he just did for that.
Like, there's a part of me that appreciates how
passionate
he is, how competitive he is.
Yeah.
But you're LeBron. You've been in the league 20 years. You cannot roll around on the floor.
He probably should have got that call based on him being LeBron.
And it was a foul.
It was a foul.
But they're not. They don't call every foul. Just like they don't call every hook. They don't call every hold. You can't do it. You can't do it.
Yeah.
And it was still tied. You could have won in overtime. That never comes up.
Yeah.
With a call in regulation, what never comes up is, well, why didn't you just win in overtime? And it doesn't matter.
Yeah. By that
they didn't win it over time.
How much of that mess is he even responsible for? Everyone talks about
he's been great. It's
no, I know, but as far as him basically being the GM of the Lakers the last two or three years,
well,
he's got to wear some of it, doesn't he?
Yes, I think so. I mean, he wanted Russell Westbrook. That's been a big miss.
That's a $44 million miss.
Yep, it sure is. But he's relying on guys who are unreliable, like Anthony Davis doesn't play enough. Street clothes is out, I think, again tonight. I saw it. Like, just a night off for street clothes.
He never plays. He's just sitting on the bench in a sweater.
It's like a shock when he does play.
Sweater. Just like.
So officiating was a really overarching topic of the weekend. And Something to Chew On is brought to you by Boston Pizza, Canada's favorite sports bar. From touchdowns to tie bites, puck drops to pizza, BP's elite lineup of apps, wings, and ice cold beer is always dialed in for game time. Plus, during January, you got 2 days left here. Delicious pastas start at $10.99 every single day. So hustle into your local BP tonight. Again, tomorrow is the last day to get $10.99 delicious pastas. Hustle into your local BP tonight. We've been asking the question, which league's officiating or refereeing frustrates you the most? Because of the big four, you can make an argument for every single one.
Everyone's going to vote recency bias because the games were
the NFL. Yes. I voted NFL because of what I saw yesterday.
Exactly.
There was a lot of frustration. Like the redo on third down in that Chiefs game, I have never seen that before.
Yeah.
They play it out. Like, I thought Zach Taylor was going to put that ref into a choke slam. He was so angry, so legitimately angry, for them to play it out, and then they say, actually, we got to redo it. And then Eli Apple gets flagged on a hold. They get a first down. It didn't matter. They ended up punting it away.
I thought that was going to be karma for Eli Apple.
I was
like,
was
you
too.
Know what? You did that stuff in Buffalo, and now you're going to cost the team the game with that penalty?
He talks a lot of smack, too, man, and he's not that good. He's just simply not that good.
Yeah,
But I think it's the NFL because it's a stop-and-start league, and they don't play as many games.
Yeah.
It's
such a big machine.
And there's money on the line. There's fantasy on the line. I will admit it from a personal standpoint.
Yeah.
If you're betting on a game, which is more likely in the NFL, the officiating factoring in drives you crazy. But you can make a case for every single sport. Baseball, like if a strike zone, if a guy's asleep behind a plate, it is infuriating to watch.
Who is it, Angel?
Angel Hernandez. He can, like, they'll do a full review. He you know, he was right on 63% of the pitches.
Yeah.
There's 250 balls thrown throughout a game.
That guy, is he done? He's not around
anymore. I think he's still around. Isn't Angel still?
I thought he was still up last year.
He lights up Twitter, and like every time he's behind the plate, somebody would be like, watch out, Angel's behind the plate tonight.
Yeah. He's polarizing.
And Cowboy
this, the NHL isn't, I don't think, a refereeing problem. But I'm getting tired of just the power plays all night, every night. It's a power play contest almost every night.
Yeah.
Like, there's no 5-on-5 game. I'm not liking the way the game is going as far as just the penalties.
Year,
and I know the standard is the standard, but I don't like watching power play after power play.
You have to allow for a flow. It's so easy to say call the rule book. If you did that, you'd call something on every shift.
Every shift.
Literally every shift. You're not going to do that.
Last year, down the stretch, how many times did we talk about, and especially in this market, people are like, the Leafs play this way, heading into the playoffs, it's reffed a different way. So everyone's like, I want consistency, want consistency. I thought it was pretty consistent in the playoffs. But I like a game managed. I don't have a problem with, if you're taking away a scoring chance, call the play. If it's something behind the play and it's a little jousting or whatever, and it doesn't affect anything, let them play. Like, to me, I feel like there are refs, and I believe me, I'm pro-ref, when it comes to, because I see so many games and I talk to the guys when I'm in the buildings. They do their best. They're going to miss stuff.
It's but a tough job.
I like refs who actually openly admit. I don't know if you've ever had that. Oh, I've had refs skate up, and I missed that. Skate to the bench. That's on me. I missed that call. Like, it you're human. But right now, it's a lot of some of the newer refs, they're calling it by the book, but there's no feel for the relationships inside the game. And I just...
Billy McCreary, who was the best ref to ever ref in the NHL, never said to me, I missed that.
No, I mean, Brad Meyer, there were so many guys
here's,
that would skate
here's
over.
What I don't get. How did they know they missed it?
Well, they'll probably watch the replay on the Jumbotron.
Oh, okay, so
a linesman will put a bug in his ear, man. You
missed that
top of the
corner.
Because if the guy's looking at it and says, sorry, I missed it, like,
you saw it, you chose to miss it. Yeah, it's not the guy that was choking me with the stick and the ref's yelling.
Right,
like, that's
exactly.
Enough. Yeah.
You guys want some big news?
Yes.
Don't look. Bo Horvat has been traded. Do you want to guess where he's going?
Toronto.
Tampa.
The New York Islanders. The New York Islanders. This is courtesy of the Vancouver Canucks Twitter account, so this is official. Anthony Beauvillier, Atu Ratti, and a protected 23 first-round pick to the Islanders straight up for Horvat.
Interesting.
That is intriguing. Like, the Islanders are on the outside looking in. There's pressure on Lou. There's been a lot of pressure on Lou. They can't score, and he hasn't done enough.
The other day, said that, that's on me. The roster's on me. I've got to do... There's your move.
Well, but now he can put his papers down and say, there's my little thing that I did. Now go ahead and do it.
But if you're Vancouver, so Ratti, I believe, is a kid. I got to look him up. Yeah, that's probably Ratti. The piece. But then a protected first and 23, I'm guessing that is can't be lottery protected. Maybe it's top five or top 10. We'll see what the condition is.
Right.
But Villiers has been around for a while, a good player.
He's a nice player, and he's not, like, very old. I want to say, I think Villiers is 24.
Okay,
like, he's a pretty good player.
It's interesting, though. Horvat going to a team on the outside looking in. Like, I wonder how he feels about that. Like, because I'm sure he had heard, not necessarily Toronto, but there were, you know, Colorado was the team that everyone was he goes to Colorado, I'm sure he had his eye on that. Like, that might work.
Yeah.
Now you're going to a team that's...
At this point, I'm sure he knew this was coming, and he's probably fed up with it. I'm sure he's probably happy it's over.
Just relieved he's out of Vancouver.
This doesn't come with an extension and you're married to that organization.
No, you can do whatever he wants.
Where you go. He might get there and like it. Or maybe it does come with an 8-year or an extension or something
like
that.
Well, him and Barzell, I mean, is a 1-2. That'd be pretty good. But
that league, like, they've got some players there.
The Islanders are on the outside. Again, they're on the outside looking in. They're 10th in the East. They're not far out of it, but they are out.
Yeah. Well, they got a hell of a goalie there. That goalie's good.
Sorokin's good. They got a couple of good young defensemen.
Yeah, Dobson.
I like the way that suits their lineup, though. Like, Barzell, I've always loved him, but he seemed to be on an island.
He needs help.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And Bo Horvat could be a perfect complementary piece. Right. That back-to-back is a pretty good...
But you know what it is? Now other managers are going, this is what's interesting for me. Beauvillier is a good player, but what is he as far as valued? And then Ratti, you've got to figure out what he is, and a conditional first rounder. There's your marketplace. So now you're going.
That doesn't break the bank.
Well, that's
for
what
me.
I'm saying.
That's not a haul. Like on first.
Well, it depends on what you believe. But you're right. Like, there's your marketplace for players that are available. Okay, who's the next guy who's available on the market?
Yeah. You know what I will say? Credit the Islanders for protecting the pick.
Yes.
That's long overdue in the NHL. Rough. Because if that turns into the first over, you win the lottery and you just hand it Bedard over.
Panthers right now.
Exactly. You have to protect it. Chris Johnston on this and more coming up in about 15 minutes. And Max Homa still to come at 6:30. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050 and on the TSN app. All right, Chris Johnston in about 10 minutes. And we've got a trade to announce. Bo Horvat on his way to the New York Islanders, who are currently on the outside of the playoffs looking in.
See how good that is, Hazy? The juices get pumping when you announce that, when you read that.
Get a little deal cooking, man. That's a big name, too. Bo Horvat, like, that's obviously Vancouver made the determination the deal is not getting done. He's not going to accept, you know, what he believed was a low-ball offer.
Nor should he.
Or he made the determination. I'm not signing.
Possibly.
Right?
Yep.
Like, it might be...
And I wonder if the Islanders, who traded Anthony Beauvillier, Atu Ratu, and a conditional first-round pick in 2023, that condition is top 12 protected. Yeah.
Atu Ratu is a pretty good player.
Yeah. I agree. So, you know, he's a young center, and yeah, he's 20. He's center, a second-round pick. That's what they wanted. They get a first-round pick. Bevilier's a plug-and-play guy who's an NHLer.
Yeah.
But I wonder if the Islanders had permission to seek an extension with him, like a sign-and-trade, and Horvat didn't accept that.
Right.
Because I wonder if, I'm sure the Islanders would have paid a lot more if that was the case.
Yes, if he was under cost control, if yeah. he signed a...
Because the Islanders would love to sign him. Like, why sure. would you not?
Right.
It's Bo Horvat, and he's a good young player, and they need offense, and he supplies it.
Yeah. yeah. If he doesn't re-sign, you just gave away a pretty good prospect and a pretty good kind of scoring winger.
You better make the playoffs.
Right.
Imagine they miss the playoffs. Like, this is embarrassing. This is, I think, Lou Lamoriello's, like, this is it, man. If you miss the playoffs, I don't see him still there in a year.
I agree.
I don't know how you explain to ownership. I swung and I went for it, and I right. gave up pieces to bring in a guy who's leaving anyway, possibly, and you missed the playoffs.
They're 2 points behind Pitt in that last. Buffalo's right in there. Washington's right in there.
Yeah.
It's going to be a dogfight right at the bottom there, right to the...
Washington's not a lock by any means.
No. Nope.
And now there's Pittsburgh, for that matter. Oh, I mean,
30 the games Islanders, left. Florida that looks like a lot. Around. Those fly by.
Well, pretty much, I think you can go right down to Florida on that board right there.
Yeah.
So there's five teams for two spots, really, in yep. essence. And
yeah, you're right. Carolina, Jersey, the Rangers are in. Boston, Toronto, Tampa in. It's wild card race.
Yeah.
Final hour up next. Chris Johnston, Max Homa will join us. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 soon to be up on TSN 2.